We've become devoted members of what Celeste Headlee calls the cult of efficiency, a society fervently committed to constant activity and optimization. We're perpetually busy, convinced our efforts save time and improve our lives. But what if this efficiency is largely an illusion? Think about it. We're like swimmers who buy every book, gadget, and app about swimming without ever getting in the water. The average American owns 300,000 items, many purchased to save time, yet we feel more time-starved than ever. This paradox stems from our innate drive for improvement combined with the hedonic treadmill, our tendency to quickly return to baseline happiness regardless of achievements. For centuries, we've searched for external solutions to internal problems. We've been conditioned by economics and religion to believe life's purpose is hard work. Our historical eras are now named for technological achievements rather than human development. We measure years in work products, not personal growth. The consequences are alarming. Social isolation has doubled since the 1990s, and teen suicide rates have risen dramatically since 2010. We've eliminated expressions of basic humanity because they're inefficient. Boredom, long conversations, hobbies, neighborhood gatherings. Despite technological advances that should save time, we're more overwhelmed than ever. The solution isn't digital, but analog, like the human body itself. Technology can extend life and provide entertainment, but can't make us happy. That requires embracing our shared humanity, finding balance between striving to improve and feeling gratitude for what we have. Medieval peasants and ancient Athenians enjoyed more leisure time than modern workers, with festivals and holidays occupying significant portions of the year. Pre-industrial revolution work followed natural rhythms. Peasants worked 8-hour days, while artisans controlled their schedules and profits. Work was merely one aspect of life. The Industrial Revolution transformed this balance. Factory work urbanized populations, creating employer dependency. Craftsmen vanished, social mobility declined, and hourly wages replaced task-based payment. Cultural shifts followed. Punctuality changed from meaning exactness to on time. Artificial lighting enabled night shifts, redefining day as working hours. Workers endured harsh conditions, exemplified by young Charles Dickens' experience in a rat-infested warehouse. Labor unions fought back, and reduced hours proved to increase productivity and safety. Today, despite these historical struggles for workers' rights, we've regressed, routinely handling work during personal time and extending our workdays. The Protestant work ethic, introduced by Martin Luther, transformed labor from Catholic emphasis on good works to viewing hard work and frugality as godly virtues. Max Weber's 1904 book highlighted how this ideology, exemplified by Benjamin Franklin's "time is money" philosophy, made idleness both a moral and financial sin. The American dream embraced this mindset, transforming bootstrapping from a mockery of impossible feats into praise for self-made success. Horatio Alger's "Ragged Dick" cemented the narrative of rising through diligence. Despite minimal social mobility, less than 1% become millionaires, the belief in success through hard work endures. While economists once predicted 15-hour work weeks by 2030, increasing consumerism prevailed. Worker wages stagnated as CEO compensation rose 800% since 1978. This evolution has led society to measure human worth through productivity rather than inherent humanity. When time becomes monetized, our relationship with leisure fundamentally changes. Higher wages make work more attractive than leisure, transforming free time into anxiety about lost earnings. Though Americans feel overworked, they actually work fewer hours than in past decades, a paradox born from our altered perception of time. Studies show that calculating one's hourly wage makes people too impatient for leisure, favoring productive activities instead. The blending of work into personal life creates polluted time, being perpetually on call. Corporate culture remains tied to outdated principles, with work expanding unnecessarily to fill available time. Busyness has replaced traditional luxury as the new status symbol, with packed schedules now signifying success, the opposite of when leisure indicated prosperity. This raises the question, is our fixation with time efficiency preventing us from living the life we're working to create? The modern productivity obsession has become quasi-religious, with over 40 million search results for how to be more productive, reflecting our efficiency-seeking culture's reach into every life aspect. The 1990s quality time movement exemplified this mindset, suggesting parents could compress meaningful child interactions into designed hours. Sociologist Arlie Russell Hochschild noted this merely transferred the cult of efficiency from office to home. Corporate efficiency thinking now dominates personal life, turning basic human activities into checklists, from rapid language learning to instant mastery of complex subjects. The self-help industry, approaching $13 billion by 2022, profits from our belief that every life aspect can be optimized. Yet efficiency tactics often backfire. Princeton and UCLA studies show laptop note-takers record more but understand less than those writing by hand. As consultant Andrew Taggart observes, we've mistaken productivity for happiness, becoming tools of efficiency rather than its masters. The notion that women are natural multitaskers is false. Human brains can only switch rapidly between tasks, not perform them simultaneously. This task switching reduces cognitive performance, yet women report spending nearly 50 hours weekly attempting it. Mothers particularly struggle, describing after-work hours as arsenic time while balancing home and work duties. Though the 1970s Quiet Revolution brought women into the workforce, domestic expectations intensified rather than decreased. Helicopter parenting emerged as working mothers tried to prove their careers weren't affecting their children's well-being. Working mothers face a double burden, maintaining professional excellence while managing home and family. The motherhood penalty is measurable. Women's pay drops 4% after having children, while men's rises 6%. Common coping mechanisms like social withdrawal or constant connectivity often backfire, suggesting a better solution might be simply doing less. Our obsession with work diminishes compassion, with studies showing decreased empathy in job-focused individuals. Work should be viewed as a tool for fulfilling needs, not a requirement itself. Humans need food, water, shelter, sleep, connection, and novelty, none requiring modern labor structures. As primatologist Franz De Waal notes, we're social creatures wired for group survival. Digital technology has transformed expectations, with most emails answered within an hour and texts read within minutes. Yet delayed responses rarely impact outcomes, and Yale research shows online searches boost confidence without increasing understanding. While social media promises connection, it often increases isolation by substituting deep relationships with superficial ones. Self-awareness through activity tracking reveals patterns of unnecessary online time that could serve meaningful pursuits. We must distinguish between means goals, like earning money, and end goals, like happiness. End goals resist smart frameworks as lifetime pursuits, encouraging creative solutions when specific approaches fail. It's time to challenge the belief that stability requires constant work. Our worth lies in our capacity for joy, creativity, and meaningful relationships, not our output. Sometimes the most revolutionary act is being present in our humanity.